Oh my God, it's a run-in! All right, here we are. Welcome back. It's a run-in episode, Murder Gymnastics, a wrestling podcast. My name is Carl, otherwise known as Mr. Meanie. My buddy Paul is also here.
Yo!
He's over there. See him? He's there. No, you can't see him. This is a podcast. I see him. He's there. We're running in. We promised last week we would talk about Forbidden Door. And look, we did it.
Yay,
2 weeks in a row. It's a first.
Look at us fulfilling a promise.
Right? Wow. So yeah, Forbidden Door. I was excited about this pay-per-view. That's why I wanted to make sure we didn't cut anything short. Basically, the Forbidden Door name, for anyone that doesn't know, it's all about promotions wrestling other promotions. It's a forbidden door. You don't open that door if you're Vince McMahon. You should open that door. And WWE, the two cons, Tony and whatever the names are, the two bosses of the two companies need to figure this out. At some point, we need a WWE AEW pay-per-view. It would be bigger than WrestleMania. It would be the biggest thing they've ever done. I can't even imagine the numbers. So, but this one, yeah, Forbidden Door, last year, I heard about it. I heard great things about it. I wasn't sad I didn't see it because I didn't know how to see it. There wasn't even an option. I didn't even think I could watch it. This year, I just was like, fuck it, figure it out. Watch the pay-per-view. And I'm glad I did. It wasn't a perfect show, but it was sure an interesting show. That was definitely the most interesting pay-per-view I probably ever watched, as far as like being something I'd never seen done before. Two companies with very different styles, very different ways of doing things, having their competitors wrestle, and they have to put each other over. You're asking people from one company to lose to people from another company. That's why Vince doesn't want to do it, because he would be like, well, my guys get to win every match. That's not fair. you gotta balance it a little bit. And I was very, very impressed. It was a good show. Like I said, there's flaws. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about everything. But I thought going in, the hype was ridiculous for one thing. So yes. I was like, so this is like the end game Marvel. This is like the Rise of Skywalker. This is like the big, you know, there, I could not believe the hype of this thing. So not sure if it lived up to that hype, because that hype was too big. But yeah, going in, I was ready to watch, because like these names, right? We've heard Okada's name. We've heard Tanahashi's name. This Will Ospreay fella, like I was sick of hearing his name and people saying five-star, best thing. I was like, fuck, can I just watch this guy wrestle one time? Like before he retires? Like, and I was hoping not to be disappointed. So spoiler, I wasn't disappointed, but we'll get to that one. I'm not starting with that match. There's no way we start with that match. The easy way to start was the beginning of the pay-per-view. So it started with not my favorite match of the night. So it's not necessarily Tanahashi's fault. I don't know the guy. This was my first time seeing him. But he's an older wrestler. And from everything I've read, his body is just crap. His knees are done. He has very limited mobility. I didn't know anything about that. So when I was watching the match, I was very underwhelmed, because it was a very sloppy match. He was having trouble getting to the top rope. Moves were hitting the ropes and they were failing. I was like, what is going on? Because like, I don't see MGF very much either. He's like this, he's the AEW champion. And I was like, ooh, this match is not what I was expecting. But when I did some research afterwards, so hindsight, not Tanahashi's fault. It was kind of a match to make him look good and have MJF not lose the belt. Because of course he wasn't going to lose the title, right? So
yeah.
So it was not my favorite match, but I see why they did it that way. I need to go back and look at some Tanahashi matches, some of his epic from the past. I don't know anything about his history. Yeah.
Well, and I watching it exactly that. I think you could tell who had worked with one another before, because
totally.
I think that is a good link in that a lot of AEW performers like Jericho, like Kenny Omega and whatnot, like they have a history of working for New Japan. So there is that through line there.
Totally.
So
you could tell.
And I think maybe I noticed, maybe I was reading too much into it, but just a different turnbuckle style, I think, kind of tripped up some of the New Japan guys. And watching New Japan Strong, they mentioned that quite a bit, of like people coming over for like from other promotions, how they've got the solid turnbuckle styles, and sometimes if you utilize the ropes, it's an adjustment. So I think maybe that was an adjustment period, but I think this was a good starter match because it got you immediately interested. MJF defending his title. I agree, not the best match, but one to, good kickoff.
It was still just really cool. It was like seeing a band maybe a little past their prime, but you're still like, it's Iron Maiden, man. That's cool. Yeah. So it was great to see him. I thought that was cool. Second match. So I'm going to go wah, wah. When CM Punk came out, I was booing. I was booing at the TV. And Kojima, I was like, okay, I've heard that name before. I'm cheering hard for Kojima. I was really hoping that was going to go my way. CM Punk's such a prick. I don't like him at all. I think in that match, he had an attitude in that match. I don't think he liked that people were booing him because he was acting like, I know heels are supposed to act a certain way. He was acting like a dick that whole match. I was not impressed by how he was acting. And I don't know if you saw it. Another podcast pointed out to me that he got bagged intentionally by Kojima as like, as like a stop that there's
wake
like,
up call.
He dropped an elbow and like right in his nuts, right during what, cause he, CM Punk was like, he was impersonating Hulk Hogan. He was doing all kinds of like really shitty stuff. I was really annoyed by him in that match. He was driving me crazy. So he's not my, clearly not my favorite wrestler. And I was really hoping Kojima would win that. I don't really know why CM Punk got the win there. To me, it could have been Kojima that got the win there. Just, I don't know. It would have set better for me. That match was not a bad match, but CM Punk was really pissing me off. We'll move past that match. CM Punk sucks. So Orange Cassidy, who this guy that he's really won me over. I thought his gimmick was the dumbest thing I'd ever seen. And now I think his gimmick is the best thing I've ever seen. So I don't know. I don't know how that happened. I have these, he affects your brain. He affects your brain that this, like what wrestler comes down from Margo, my wife was like, he walked with his title belt in a backpack. And like the gimmick is something I've just never seen before. This weird casual got his glasses on. Like it surprises me every time how I feel like I shouldn't like this, yet it makes me laugh. And then he takes his jacket off and the fucker can wrestle like really well. Like he is a really good athletic. He can do fast moves. I enjoyed that match a lot. Actually, I thought that match was really good. That was an enjoyable match.
It was really good. And this follows the theme of, you mentioned it earlier. We've heard, because I don't watch AEW, but I listen to wrestling podcasts. Of course, I hear the Japan names, but also the AEW names that I'm aware of who they are and kind of their stature, but this was a great pay-per-view to finally see these people in action. Orange Cassidy is one of those that I've heard both positive and negative about, either loving or hating the gimmick, but I wouldn't say I loved it, his gimmick, but it was a solid match and I really liked, actually everybody in the match I thought did a really good job, and three out of the four people had titles.
Right. Totally. I love that. I love seeing all the belts in there, and hopefully you can see Orange Cassidy sometime in the singles match where it's just him doing his, seriously, I hated this at first, his hands in his pocket and this weird thing. It's all so bizarre. His little kicks on the ankles. It should be the stupidest thing. It is the stupidest thing, but it, oh man, it just works for me now. It just, I've been consumed. He's got me by the balls. Well, so yeah, that was a good match. I enjoyed it. The next match, Jungle Boy, I don't know about Jungle Boy. He's that match was fine. I didn't really, the story there didn't really work for me. And the weird heel turn at the end after the whole thing was done and they were up the ramp, like all of it felt really random to me. That match didn't really work for me. I didn't really enjoy that one too much.
Well, and then him kind of mugging on the ramp up afterwards, like trying to engage the crowd, like he was surprised they were booing him.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure that was all part of the story of like he's supposed to look confused because maybe he doesn't understand that he did anything wrong. Not knowing the character or any of that, I guess, hurts that story. But
I guess, yeah. But then Taz completely oversells how shocking it was at commentary. Like he was like it was like Hulk Hogan betraying for the NWO. He was just like
coming out at the Bash of the Beach.
Yeah, Taz was beside himself. I'm like, dude, you know, I don't know. I'm not the biggest Taz fan on commentary. I'm like, calm down, dude. You're losing your mind. So that match, it was okay. It was fine. So last week I mentioned big, messy matches. So this is where this pay-per-view was kind of up and down for me because it had such highs, but it had such lows for me. The 10-man tag I hear 10 man tag and I'm like, if it's not the Canadian Stampede with the Hart Foundation, I don't really want to watch it, because 10 man tags are just chaos and annoying, and they're like a battle royal to me. Like they're fun on paper, but when I see them, oh my god, it's just a mess.
They're
it's
fun
just,
in a video game.
Yeah, it's
but spot to watch
a, spot after no. spot after spot, and there's just too many spots. I'm not a big Young Bucks fan anyway, so that match was big and messy. There was some good moments. There was like, but it's like one of a thousand moments. Like there were so many moments that I'm just like, what are you even talking about? So that match was fun, but kind of messy. So
I don't disagree. I'm the same as you. Usually if it's like, here's a 10 man tag, I'm like, maybe it's time to go get a snack or a drink.
Yeah. So I was disappointed, as the next match up is the women's match, that there was only one women's match on the card. So when you have 13 matches and you have, you know, tons of great women on your roster and there's only one women's match, that kind of bothered me. And then we've talked about this off the air, but it wasn't the greatest match. Like the storyline there wasn't very compelling. So like I really didn't enjoy it very much. I have nothing against any of the competitors. I'm a fan of Toni Storm. I like Ruby Soho, the girl from New Japan. I didn't know her, but Willow Nightingale, I just thought she did a great job. So I liked her a lot, but the match itself, it needed more buildup for me coming in. Maybe if I followed it more closely, I don't know if there was a story that was missing, but I didn't find I was engaged at all with it, sadly. So I enjoyed it-ish, but I wouldn't revisit that match, sadly. So
no, it was okay. And it, I don't know, I agree with you. It just kind of felt like an afterthought. Like, well, we need a women's match. I guess we'll throw this in, I guess.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether that's new, like they weren't getting many offers coming from the Japan side, from the New Japan side. So maybe they could only really use one. I don't know, but I agree. It seemed like a short match and kind of a, all right, I guess.
Next match on the card was, you know, Will Ospreay, Kenny Omega. So going into this, I'd already heard about the history. That can hurt a match when they overhype it. And it did. It was overhyped. I'm not going to say it was the greatest wrestling match I've ever seen, because I've heard people saying that. Hyperbole is just 2023. Everyone says that too much. But it was a hell of a wrestling match. I was so impressed by Will Ospreay. I've already been impressed by Kenny Omega. He's not my favorite wrestler. It's not anything against him. There's something about his personality that just doesn't grab me. But I know technically he's incredible. He's incredible in everything he does. So I'm not saying anything bad about him. But Will Ospreay, there's something about him in the ring that's just compelling. I was just like so into everything he did. The blood spots were kind of predictable. So I think it actually, in my opinion, would have been a better match without the blood, because I found both of them were predictable. I was like, oh, well, this is where he's going to cut. Oh, there it is. Oh, so the steps. Okay, this is where he gets cut. I found it so predictable that it lost. There should have been maybe one random blood spot in the meeted, like some random one that you don't see coming. I would have rather there was no blood, because the last one apparently was a bloodbath. So to me, that's just predictable. So it didn't need that. And it maybe didn't need all the false finishes, like maybe 10 less false finishes at the end. There were so many. So for me, if you just tighten it up a bit, but it was a hell of a match. I can't say anything bad about it. It was okay. I can say one thing bad about it. Don Callis gets kicked out by the referee.
Yeah.
Then comes back and there's no ramification and the match keeps going.
And he's interfering in the match.
Right. So what the fuck? Like, that's a pretty big botch. Sorry. In the biggest match of the night, that's a pretty big botch. That stood out all night. I'm like, whoa, like some writer should get fired, or so whoever screwed that up, whoever sent him back out, or whoever told the referee to kick him out. Cause don't do one of those two things.
So, yeah. Man. Although it did lead to the funniest moment of the whole night. When he came back, the crowd, which we have to give credit to this crowd, this crowd was phenomenal.
Canadian crowds, man. We know Canadian crowds go nuts.
It's phenomenal. So Don Callis comes to the ring back from the from the dressing room, and the crowd starts chanting, "Piece of shit."
Oh yeah. There was a lot of cursing chants that night.
There was. And then Tony Schiavone's like, well, that's my favorite chant of the night.
Awesome.
Which I thought was fantastic. But yeah, this was an amazing match. It lived up to the hype. You're right. I would rewatch this match for sure because you're right. There was a lot of false finishes. There was a lot of things going on. And it makes me want to watch the previous matches.
I really want to see the last two because there's two. So I'd like to see those matches big time now. So
That was, for me, that was the match of the night. It had everything. It was 40 minutes.
Yeah.
It had crowd spots where they were interacting with the crowd. Will Ospreay like wiping his butt with the Canadian flag. And it just, it had everything you wanted for a big match. And what more can you say, really?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Great match. And it was, maybe it should have come after the next match because that Sting Jericho match, like I found that so late in the card to be such a disappointment. Sting is old and I wasn't impressed with him in the ring. It just wasn't wowing me. Did you notice when him and Jericho finally got in the ring? It was like, this is the first time the crowd, no pop, like zero. I was like, that's the quietest I've ever heard a crowd when it's supposedly the big moment. Like these two people, I'm like, no,
these two have ever met.
This is a total fail. So that match didn't work for me. I didn't enjoy it. It was all about those two guys, and there was lots of talent otherwise. But I found it was the focus was on Jericho and Sting, and it just that match fell flat for me. I didn't enjoy it.
Lots of chop spots, and I noticed that throughout the card too. Like lots of chops, like. Guys just standing there chopping each other. I'm like,
totally.
Oh, all right. Well, sure.
Agreed. So,
too many for my liking, but
But that I say to hell with that match. We got to make sure we talk about Bryan Danielson and Okada because this is an interesting one. That match, I enjoyed it. It was good. But Bryan Danielson broke his arm in that match. I don't know if you know. So,
he legit did.
That's why the last 10 minutes of that match sucked so bad because he had a broken arm. He's going to be out for like 3 months.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I thought he was just really good at selling an injured arm.
But like it affected the whole end of that match. The end of that match was not pretty. And I was like, wow, he's selling the arm so much. It's kind of wrecking the end of the match. Aha. Uh-huh. Like they had to get through the end of the match with a broken arm. So it's a shame because like Okada, I'd never seen him before. He was great. Bryan Danielson, I keep almost saying Dan O'Brien, God damn it, when you have multiple names, gimmicks. he's always great. So that match was really good. But I'm sorry, there was too much hype calling it the winner of this match is the greatest wrestler in the world. I hate when they do that. That's unfair on the match. That's
setting it up for failure.
You can't beat that expectation. So I wish they hadn't done that. But it was a good match. I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. But the broken arm is brutal, and I'm sorry for Brian that had to happen. It spoiled what probably was a moment he was really looking forward to. So
yeah, like what people were calling a dream match. Yeah. Like, yeah, and that's too bad.
I think to get through the end of the match and to create some like maybe a pause in the match, he did that like he was having an epileptic seizure or something moment.
Yeah,
don't do that in wrestling because like. I heard this on another pod too, and I agree with it. Like we're worried about these people all the time. And I legit was like, well, hopefully he's not actually having a fucking seizure. Like these guys get dropped on their head all the time. That's not something I think these guys pretend that you have a broken arm, broken leg, bleed from your face, but I don't think you should ever write that people are having seizures. Like we don't need to think someone's actually dying in there. That's not cool. So anyway,
nope. I 100% agree. Next time.
So overall, I think that was a really enjoyable pay-per-view. I thought it was like I look forward to watching it again next year if they do this type of. I think Forbidden Door will just be a regular thing. I'm assuming so. I think that was really fun. And I hope to see more of this. I think like NWA always tries to cross promote with other promotions. I would love to see WWE finally if Vince could not be in charge and someone else could be in charge, make that call because I think the fans would love it. So
I agree 1,000%.
Awesome, Forbidden Door. I'm glad that door got kicked open.
Yep.
Well done.
Kicked open, kicked down, step through.
Okay, well, it's time to wrap things up. Huge thanks to all the listeners that joined us this week. Don't forget to subscribe and download the episode in your podcast app of choice. Every little bit helps us. Spotify users, you can now interact directly with the podcast in-app as we add Q&As and polls for every episode, so check those out. And we even try and read out your responses, so let us have them. And you can now reach the podcast on Instagram at Murder Gymnastics Pod. I try and post daily, so pop on over for fun memes, pics, and videos. And of course, Paul, if people got nothing going on, what should they do?
Go watch some wrestling. Yeah!